Welcome to Design Decoded, your GCSE Art and Design Revision podcast. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most exciting and commercially relevant topics in the graphic communication pathway, branding and identity. Whether you're mid-portfolio or just starting your project, this episode is going to give you the knowledge, the vocabulary, and the exam technique to really impress your assessors. So let's get into it. What is branding and identity? Let's start with the big picture. When we talk about branding and identity in the context of your OCR GCSE, we're talking about the complete visual system that represents an organization, product, or service. This isn't just a logo, it's the entire visual language a brand uses to communicate who it is, what it stands for, and who it's talking to. Think about a brand you know well. Maybe it's Nike or Spotify or a local coffee shop you love. What do you immediately picture? Probably a logo, a color, a font style. That's brand identity at work. It's the sum of all the visual decisions that create a consistent, recognizable personality. For your OCR coursework, you're being asked to develop this kind of system from scratch and to document every step of the journey. That's what makes this topic so rich for marks, because the process is just as important as the final outcome. Now, your work is assessed across four equally weighted assessment objectives: AO1, AO2, AO3, and AO4, each worth 25% of your marks. Understanding what each one demands is absolutely critical. AO1 is about developing ideas through research and context. This means looking at existing brands, analyzing what designers have done before you, and building a genuine understanding of the visual world around you. AO2 is about exploring and experimenting with media and techniques. This is where you try things out, sketching logo concepts, experimenting with typography, testing color combinations. AO3 is about recording your process. This is your sketchbook, your annotated contact sheets, your screen grabs of digital work. It's the evidence trail that shows how your thinking evolved. And AO4 is about presenting and realizing your intentions, your final outcome presented professionally, showing that your design works in the real world. Core concepts. Let's break down the key theoretical concepts you need to understand and use in your annotations. First up, semiotics. This is the study of signs and symbols and how they communicate meaning. In branding, every visual choice is a sign. A sharp, angular typeface might signify strength and precision. A rounded, soft logo might communicate friendliness and approachability. When you analyze existing brands for AO1, you should be asking, what does this visual choice signify? What meaning is being communicated? Examiners love to see the word semiotics used correctly. It immediately signals a higher level of critical thinking. Next, visual hierarchy. This refers to the arrangement of visual elements so that the viewer's eye is guided in a deliberate order. In a logo, the brand name might be the dominant element with a strap line subordinate to it. In a poster, the headline commands attention first, then the supporting information. When you design your own identity system, you need to make conscious decisions about hierarchy and explain those decisions in your annotations. Color psychology is another essential concept. Colors carry cultural and psychological associations that designers exploit deliberately. Red suggests energy, urgency, passion. Blue communicates trust, calm, professionalism, which is why so many banks and tech companies use it. Green signals nature, health, sustainability. Yellow evokes optimism and warmth. When you choose your brand's color palette, you must articulate why and link those choices explicitly to your target audience and brand values. Typography is a whole world in itself. The difference between a serif typeface, one with small decorative strokes at the ends of letter forms, and a sans serif typeface, clean, without those strokes, carries enormous meaning. Serif fonts like Times New Roman or Garamond feel traditional, authoritative, established. Sans serif fonts like Helvetica or Futura feel modern, clean, forward-thinking. But beyond choosing a typeface, you need to understand kerning, the spacing between individual letter pairs, and tracking, which is the overall letter spacing across a word or line. Manipulating these can completely transform the feel of a typographic treatment. Now let's talk about the logo itself. There are several types of logos you should know. A wordmark is a logo made purely from a stylized version of the brand name. Think Google or Coca-Cola. A lettermark uses initials like IBM or HBO. A pictorial mark uses a standalone icon, the Apple logo, the Twitter bird. A combination mark uses both text and a symbol together, like the Nike swoosh with the word Nike. And an abstract mark uses a geometric or abstract form that doesn't literally represent anything, like the Pepsi circle. Understanding these categories helps you make informed design decisions and articulate them with precision. Target audience analysis is the foundation of everything. Before you put pen to paper or cursor to screen, you need to know exactly who you're designing for. Age, lifestyle, values, spending habits, cultural references, all of these inform every design decision. A brand targeting teenagers will make completely different choices to one targeting retired professionals. Your annotations must make this connection explicit and consistent throughout your portfolio. Key practitioners. Let me introduce you to some designers whose work you should know and reference. Paul Rand is one of the most important graphic designers of the 20th century. He created iconic corporate identities for IBM, ABC, and UPS. His work demonstrated how a simple, geometric logo could carry enormous weight and recognition. His 1981 IBM logo, using horizontal stripes to suggest dynamism and technology, is a masterclass in concept-driven design. Reference Rand when discussing how simplicity and concept can coexist. Saul Bass was a pioneer of title sequence design and corporate identity. He created logos for companies including AT&T, United Airlines, and Girl Scouts of America. Bass believed that a logo should be a distillation of an idea, not a decoration. His approach was conceptual and bold, stripping design back to its essential meaning. Massimo Vignelli was an Italian designer who championed the idea that good design is timeless. His 1972 New York City subway map is one of the most discussed pieces of information design in history. His work for American Airlines demonstrated how a consistent typographic system could create a powerful corporate identity. Vignelli famously said he only needed 5 typefaces, a statement that encapsulates his philosophy of disciplined, purposeful design. For contemporary reference, consider the work of Pentagram, the world's largest independent design consultancy. The rebranding of the New York Public Library or their identity work for Saks Fifth Avenue shows how brand identity functions across complex multi-platform systems. Exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk about where candidates lose marks and how you avoid those traps. The number one mistake is the unannotated mood board. I see this constantly. A candidate assembles a beautiful collection of images from Pinterest, prints them out, sticks them in their sketchbook, and moves on. 0 marks for critical analysis. What examiners want to see is deconstruction. For every image on your mood board, you should be asking, what typeface is this? Why has this color been chosen? What does this symbol signify? Who is the target audience? How does the visual hierarchy work? Even 2 or 3 sentences of genuine analysis per image will transform your AO1 marks. The second big mistake is typographic laziness. Candidates download a font, type their brand name, and call it done. But typography is a craft. You should be experimenting with kerning, adjusting the space between specific letter pairs. You should be exploring tracking, the overall letter spacing. You should be testing different weights, light, regular, bold, black. You should be considering whether to use all caps, title case, or lowercase. Document all of these experiments, even the ones that don't work. Annotate why you rejected certain options. That iterative process is exactly what AO2 rewards. Third, the isolated logo. Your final logo should never appear on a white page in isolation. It needs to be contextualized. Show it on a business card, on a tote bag, on a storefront, on a website header, on a coffee cup. Use digital mock-up templates. There are excellent free ones available online. This contextualization is what earns you top AO4 marks because it demonstrates that your design functions as a real-world identity system, not just a pretty picture. Fourth, the disconnect between research and outcome. If your AO1 research is all about minimalist Scandinavian design, clean lines, muted palettes, geometric forms, but your final logo is a busy, illustrative, maximalist design, you've broken the conceptual thread. Examiners are looking for a coherent journey from inspiration to outcome. Your final design should feel like the inevitable conclusion of your research. Fifth, not documenting failed experiments. In digital design especially, candidates tend to delete work that didn't go the way they planned. Don't. Keep everything. Screenshot your Illustrator or Photoshop workspace at different stages. Print out rejected concepts and annotate them. I rejected this because the letter forms felt too aggressive for the target demographic of young women aged 18 to 25. That kind of annotation demonstrates sophisticated design thinking and earns marks across AO2 and AO3. Quickfire recall quiz. Right, let's test your knowledge. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Question 1. What term describes the study of signs and symbols and how they communicate meaning? The answer is semiotics. Question 2. What is the difference between kerning and tracking in typography? Kerning is the spacing between individual letter pairs. Tracking is the overall letter spacing across a word or line. Question 3. Name 3 types of logo and give a real-world example of each. A word mark, Google, a pictorial mark, Apple, a combination mark, Nike. Question 4. What are the 4 assessment objectives in OCR GCSE Art and Design, and what percentage is each worth? AO1. Develop ideas through research and context, 25%. AO2. Explore and experiment with media and techniques, 25%. AO3. Record your process, 25%. AO4. Present and realize your intentions, 25%. Question 5. Name 1 key graphic designer associated with corporate identity and one of their most famous works. Paul Rand, IBM logo, or Saul Bass, AT&T logo, or Massimo Vignelli, New York City subway map. Summary and sign off. Let's bring it all together. Branding and identity is a topic that rewards candidates who think like real designers, who understand that every visual decision carries meaning, who document their process rigorously, and who connect their research to their outcomes in a coherent, articulate way. Remember, the 4 AOs are equally weighted, so you cannot afford to neglect any of them. Your research must be analytical, not decorative. Your experimentation must be documented and annotated. Your recording must show the evolution of your thinking. And your final outcome must be contextualized in a professional, real-world environment. Use the vocabulary we've covered today: semiotics, visual hierarchy, color psychology, kerning, tracking, word mark, pictorial mark, target audience. These terms signal to your assessor that you're thinking and working at a high level. And finally, enjoy it. Branding is one of the most commercially relevant, creatively exciting areas of graphic design. The skills you develop in this project are genuinely useful in the real world. Thank you so much for listening to Design Decoded. Good luck with your portfolio, and I'll see you in the next episode.